Hey guys, welcome to Unpopular Opinions with Nick. On this podcast, we will be discussing all things culture, politics, lifestyle, and current events. Come along for the ride. General Mark Milley has a potential treasonous phone call to Chinese generals. The Gavin Newsom recall election fizzled out in a disappointing defeat. And Joe Biden's using the full power of the federal government to crack down on political opponents and opposition, read, red states, because he cannot stand that conservatives are better at governing than him. All this and more on Unpopular Opinions. All right, welcome back to Unpopular Opinions with Nick. Disappointing week this past week. Especially with, I really thought the Newsom election was going to be, the recall was going to be a kind of a referendum on the absolute and just complete collapse and failure of democratic governance in this country. I know so many people from California just hate it. It's turned into just an absolute hellhole. But the recall election, it was a bust. Newsom, that psychopath, freaking just Patrick Bateman, evil sneer looking horrible governor of California beat the recall and Larry Elder by 64% to 36%. Of those who wanted to recall Newsom, Larry Elder was leading pretty significantly with 46% of the vote. But not even close to getting Newsom out of office, which is just really sad and unfortunate. So I'm sorry for all my friends in California that you have to be governed by a moronic psychopath named Gavin Newsom. But let's get to the first story that I think everyone needs to be aware of. And it should be pretty troubling that this happened, and I guarantee you there's not going to be any repercussions from this, no accountability. General Mark Milley, the famous general who says he wants to understand white rage, and wants people to read, like, in the military, assigned reading is going to be, he wants to push white fragility, and I think it's called How to Be an Anti-Racist or something by Ibram Kendi. It's an absolute dumpster fire. We don't need our military learning this woke bullshit. We need them to be the fittest, best fighting force in the world because our geopolitical enemies are literally sniffing at the gates. They know that Biden is just an empty suit who literally gets led around by an ice cream cone. I saw him wander off looking for, it sounded like maybe there was an ice cream truck or something. Jill Biden's talking. He just wanders on off. Oh my God, it's depressing. So Bob Woodward, who everyone should be familiar with, he had an interview with Trump. It didn't really help Trump, because Trump is terrible live and shoots from the cuff, and he's a New York businessman and kind of just blusters about, once you understood that, that's fine. But when you have a highly, highly partisan media that will take anything you say out of context and use it against you, much like they did with Larry Elder in the recall election and literally every conservative or Republican period, you can't do that. You have to be very measured and well-disciplined when you're in an interview. And we all know Trump's not. I mean, look at his Twitter feed. It's hilarious. It's so funny, but also people hated it. So Mark Milley in this book from Bob Woodward, was said to have had a phone call in early January, and it said, "General Lee, I want to assure you that the American government is stable and everything is going to be okay. We are not going to attack or conduct any kinetic operations against you," Milley reportedly said. He continues to say, General Lee, you and I have known each other now for 5 years. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. Hold the phone. Excuse me? So the first half is fine. It's like, hey, you know, we're fine. We're a stable country. That one's not a big deal. But I will call you if we're going to attack. Are you out of your freaking mind? If you're on a... I'm going to break this down in very, very simple terms because the media is going to spin this every kind of way they can. If you're on a basketball team and you guys call a timeout, drop a play, and then one of your guys, one of your teammates goes over to the other team's huddle and tells them the play you're going to run, that's treasonous. He's stabbing the entire team in the back. So I don't understand how any of that is allowable, especially to China. The Chinese government is just a bunch of god-awful people. I mean, they treat their people horribly. There's a Uyghur Muslim crisis over there, about as bad as the Holocaust. I mean, they're literally rounding up Uyghur Muslims, sending them to quote-unquote re-education or labor camps, and treating them like pieces of human trash. But of course, no one's going to talk about that because, God forbid, we piss off China. And I don't care if I piss off China. China can suck it. They are just committing human rights abuse after human rights abuse, and they are diametrically opposed to the United States the way they're currently running, in my opinion. And I'm not going to be publishing a weak sauce apology video like John Cena did for saying Taiwan was a country. Like, you absolute, just, you're such a wuss. I want to say so many more explicit words, but if I start, this podcast will devolve into me just cursing out all of these stupid people, and it wouldn't be productive for you guys. So I'm hoping there's been a lot of backlash for what Milley has reportedly said. Even some Obama era officials are saying he should resign. I'm not particularly sure anything's going to happen. I have no confidence that Milley's going to be held accountable. No confidence that he's going to be charged. Hopefully, maybe something can be done in the House or the Senate, but nothing's going to come from Biden. Biden doesn't even know where he's at. So, yeah, that basically, at this point, it comes down to do whatever you want, because Joe Biden's not going to... If you support the woke, leftist, liberal regime, which most of these deep state employees who never get fired do, like Milley, like anyone at the EPA, FDA, CDC, Fauci's organization, the NIAID, NIH, like these are all just partisan hacks. And so when they F up at their job, nothing happens, because most of the time they're surrounded by people who they agree with politically. And so when a Republican or a conservative gets into office, they don't clean house, so they just keep their heads down. The terrible employees do. And then when a Democrat gets in office, they run wild, being wildly ineffective at their job. And just really, when Republicans are in office, what they do is they do everything they can to undermine and halt, you know, any sort of conservative agenda. When Trump's talking about a deep state, like, that's what he was talking about, is the unelected bureaucrats who just get either appointed or hired into these organizations, and then they can do a whole lot of shady, shady crap behind your back to hold up anything that you want, that you're trying to do politically. So fingers crossed Milley gets strung up for treason on this. Probably not going to happen. Really, really disappointing, because he was undermining our national security at the time. He absolutely was. And that has to be punishable in some way. But yeah, so disturbing story number one. Disturbing story number two, the Gavin Newsom recall election. I was really excited for this. I thought it was going to at least be close. Not even close. And yeah, there's a lot of things you can say about potential election integrity. In California, there have been some suspect findings as far as people showing up to vote on Tuesday, the 14th, and their system said that they had already voted, even though they hadn't. Universal mail-in ballots, because that's a thing. There's wide reports of people receiving two ballots, people receiving ballots not addressed to them. And also on the envelope, there's a little hole that you can see the recall. So if it's filled in, if you can see it through that hole, whoever's collecting that mail would know that they voted yes on the recall. Again, not saying there was any organized fraud, just saying that there's a lot of inconsistencies, a lot of shady looking things, maybe one too many coincidences. And if you don't believe in coincidences, you know what that means. But Newsom beat Larry Elder handedly, 64-36. Even if the election was 100% airtight, probably wasn't going to change the outcome. But I still can say that the election was rigged. And I don't mean in a fraudulent way. The election was rigged because this is what one-party rule looks like. This is what the Democrats want for everything nationally. They're so close right now. They have the House by 10. They have the Senate by 1, which is essentially Kamala Harris, if it's a 50-50 split. So it's a split Senate. And they have the president, which is not really a president. He's just a puppet that signs things and makes meandering speeches and yells like an angry grandpa. But in California, and this is going to tie into what's going on with HR1 and SR1, or SB1, I think, at the federal level, this is what they want to do. Okay, so this is what one-party rule looks like. And this, Democrats have been doing this shit forever. Lyndon Johnson got into public office because he cheated in elections. He brags about it. He literally bragged about it. Lyndon B. Johnson did. Stuffing ballot boxes in Texas. Okay? This is what Democrats do. So, now, Democrats have had California to control for a while now. One-party state. And it's obviously gone straight to hell. Just homeless everywhere. Needles all over the street. I went out there probably, 5-6 years ago now, and there were plenty of places I was like, don't even. Hollywood Boulevard, or as glitzy and glamorous as it looks, there's about one block that looks nice. The rest is a literal slum. So for any of you who have not been to LA, that's what it's like. There's the rich, ritzy parts, and the rest is just pretty much squalor. Until you get out into the suburbs and you have nicer houses. But still, like a one-story house with a decent backyard is going to be like $1.5 million. It's absolutely insane out there, the housing costs. But so here's what one-party control does. They shift the laws in their favor, so there's no chance that they lose. So, for example, universal mail-in ballots. Probably the least secure election method of all time. Okay? Just send out a ballot to every address and potential voter when you don't even keep your voter rolls up. And then assume that people don't vote twice. Just assume that they don't. Yeah! Because it's super trustworthy, right? Or ballot harvesting, which is even worse. Ballot harvesting is a joke. So for those of you who aren't aware of what ballot harvesting is when political parties, political people send out operatives into neighborhoods where they think they're going to have a high level of support or they think there are people who say maybe can't get to the polls or whatever, go knocking on doors, and then they will collect only the ballots that will be for them. So they'll knock on your door. Hi, do you know how you're going to vote in this election? And would you like us to turn your ballot in for you? And then once you say you're for a Democrat, the Democrat would then take your ballot, go turn it in. And again, Republicans can do that too. It's not technically illegal, but one side seems to really, really want to do it. So much so that they want to enshrine it into federal law. Another unfair law to, you know, consolidate this single party power in California. For recall elections, there's unlimited individual donations for the incumbent, but challengers are capped at $32,500 from an individual. So for example, let's say I wanted to donate to, you know, Larry Elder's campaign, and I were exceptionally wealthy. I had FU money. The most I could give to Larry Elder for his campaign would be $32,500. That's it. Meanwhile, Gavin Newsom, Mr. American Psycho himself, has unlimited individual donations. So, let me read you a... let me break this down exactly. This is from Inside Political Law. So, for groups that are supporting or opposing the recall vote, and groups that are organized around the yes or no vote for the recall, are not subject to any contribution limits. So, if I wanted to support the recall just in general, I could donate as much as I wanted. In fact, Governor Newsom controlled a committee, which that's incredibly different than normal campaigns, because in federal elections and other elections, you can't control your political action committees. Like, you don't, if you are, then you're committing campaign finance violations. And there's pretty big penalties for those. But in California, yeah, you can make your own committee against your own recall election. So those can raise unlimited contributions. Now, this is what I just talked about. Candidates running to replace the governor are subject to contribution limits. They are $32,400. I thought it was $32,500, but what's $100 here or there? If you're conservative, it's probably a jail sentence. If you're a Democrat, probably nothing. And that's from an individual, a business entity, or a committee slash PAC. So the candidates, Larry Elder, Caitlyn Jenner, I think Cox was one of them, they're subject to those limits. But Governor Gavin Newsom can raise unlimited amounts from his supporters. So, from the New York Times, Governor Newsom has taken full advantage of these loose rules. His contributions have included an early $3 million. Somebody just dropped $3 million in Newsom's lap. Granted, Newsom's already very, very independently wealthy anyway. But yeah, $3 million from Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix. So that's where your Netflix subscription dollars have gone. They've helped keep this freaking pathetic governor in office. $500,000 from, this is funny that New York Times calls him this, liberal philanthropist George Soros. And I've seen other sources that show he donated up to $1 million. So these numbers might be skewed a little low. But George Soros, obviously one of the worst human beings on the planet, who just, if you want to go down the rabbit hole and look up all of the Democratic committees and services and organizations that George Soros has his fingers in, it's disgusting. Like, it will send you down a conspiracy theory thread that will make your head spin. There are shell companies, there's companies that are subsidiaries of companies, and all of the same people show up in all of them, and it's all funded by George Soros. And it's really too much for coincidence. I highly, highly, highly recommend doing some digging into George Soros and Thousand Tides, Act Blue, or no, 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 sorry, Thousand Currents, the Tides Foundation, Act Blue, World Economic Forum, BlackRock, a whole lot of them. Just you start poking around there, you're going to find some stuff that's going to make your head spin. Another one to watch, if you subscribe to The Blaze, Glenn Beck has some really, really, really good investigative reporting that's been done that puts the pieces together and ties everything to George Soros, because this guy is just the boogeyman. And to top it all off, he said he was proud. I'm paraphrasing, so the fact checkers don't come for me. He said he was proud when he was turning in his Jewish neighbors to the Nazis during World War II. And he feels no regret about it. This guy is evil. He is absolutely awful. But moving on to Gavin Newsom's notorious friends. He received another $500,000 from Hollywood producer Jeffrey Katzenberg. Dr. Priscilla Chan, a philanthropist and the wife of Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook's founder, if anyone needs the clarification, she contributed $750,000, and a real estate magnate, George Marcus, gave $1 million. I wish I had friends that were this rich. I wish I had friends that had this kind of money, first of all, who can just drop all this money on a political campaign. Like, you've got to be kidding me. These are individual people dropping these stupid amounts of money on a political campaign. And so what did they do with this money? They went ahead and ran. They simply outspent every recall candidate and the pro-recall proponents. They spent $83.4 million fighting the recall versus the $45.3 million that people who wanted the recall spent. It's just crazy, the amounts of money that get spent. And so what did they do with all that money? They just slandered Larry Elder. You know, they said he was the black face of white supremacy. They took jokes out of context from his radio show. They called him the black Donald Trump. All of these are just completely baseless claims that they used successfully to, you know, win the recall election. The New York Times actually, just you can, when you read the article, I'll have it linked in the show notes. They seem to revel in the fact that Larry Elder came out, because here they go. They say, lo and behold, he got a gift from the gods in the name of Larry Elder, the conservative African-American version of Donald Trump, which is just so crazy. I mean, Larry Elder has been a public figure for years. Again, also, he is a black man in America. But the reason he's not being applauded by the left is because, you know, we could have had the first black governor of California. But instead, he gets eggs thrown at him. The media remains silent about it, all because his politics don't match theirs. So whenever someone says, you know, oh, we want equity and racial parity and racial justice, all this, all these politically charged leftist buzzwords, just know that it's all complete bullshit. All complete bullshit. Because they don't care. They don't care about anything they say they care about. What they care about is furthering their leftist agenda. That's all they want. That's it. That's it. This election puts things in pretty stark contrast of what they try to tell you. They've shown their true colors. And I was watching Steven Crowder doing a tribute to Norm Macdonald, who sadly passed away this week. And his Saturday night updates on Saturday Night Live were pretty legendary. He got fired because he wouldn't stop doing jokes about Michael Jackson and O.J. Simpson. But he was saying, if Norm Macdonald were still doing Saturday Night Update, you know, he'd say, he would do like this, and you can look it up on YouTube. Definitely not trying to lift any of his material, but Stephen does his Norm impression, which is fantastic, and he goes, in breaking news, California successfully fought off white supremacy by voting against this guy. And then it would show a picture of Larry Elder, who is a black American, which I think is hilarious. And that really is the complete story of that election. All right. Finally, let's get to our dementia-ridden commander-in-chief, or as he shall forever be known, the former vice president, Joe Biden. Well, he's using the federal government now to crack down on his political opponents, and he's targeting his opponents who are handling the virus well and properly. Mostly because they're doing a better job than him, and they're doing a better job than the blue states. So you look at Texas and you look at Florida, they're wide open. Wide open. No mask mandates. No vaccine passports, nothing. It's back to normal life because everyone who is, excuse me, everyone who wanted the vaccine and was at high risk has gotten the vaccine. Everyone else, it's your choice, which is how it should be. Because vaccines, the vaccines work. They do their job. Now, they do their job a little differently than vaccines have in the past. But they are extraordinarily effective at protecting you from severe illness and death. However, with the vaccine, you can still get COVID. These are the breakthrough cases that everyone's so terrified of. So, Florida, one of the oldest populations in the country, and they had many large orders of Regeneron out, which the Biden administration just recently said they were going to increase their access to. Well, they went ahead and just restricted the supply of monoclonal antibodies from Florida. They cut Florida's supply by like 50%, which is ridiculous. They're not going to be able to meet their daily demand for this treatment, like life-saving treatment. It has a 70% success rate of getting people out of the hospital. So according to Fortune, hospitals and other care providers will no longer be able to directly order monoclonal antibody therapies from distributors, according to a September 13th update posted on the Department of Health and Human Services website. This, first of all, I don't understand. I don't understand how the federal government can restrict a private company from selling to a state or a hospital. That I don't understand. That seems real sketchy. But instead, it says the U.S. government will determine what quantity of the drugs to ship to each state and territory based on COVID-19 case numbers and the use of treatments locally. State health departments will then determine how to distribute the antibody therapies to hospitals and other sites, according to the HHS update. So, first of all, do you notice anything here? The U.S. federal government is delegating to these federal and local agencies that are unelected bureaucratic officials, many of whom I guarantee you are just flaming leftists. And that, again, we as constituents, as citizens, have absolutely no recourse if we don't like the job that they're doing. Why? Because they're not elected. They are just, I mean, the way I see them, they're leeches. Because you can go into government, and if you suck it, I mean, look at the Postal Service. How many people like going to the Postal Service? Do you enjoy going to the Postal Service to drop off a package? I personally don't. Most of my mail comes through UPS, Amazon, FedEx. I will avoid USPS like the plague because the line's always out the door, they're understaffed, and no one really cares about their job there. It's government bureaucracy, and it's run that way. You can suck at your job and you're still not going to get fired because that's how government works. So now, instead of allowing states and hospitals who know what they need, you're going to be mandated by the state what you are allowed to use. This is rationing care. This is exactly what was going to happen with Obamacare. They're going to... The federal, in my opinion, the federal government has no right to say, oh, you have X amount of COVID cases and we're going to grace you with Y amount of treatments. That's such a huge problem because then there's a big lever of power. There's a huge power differential there. Huge power differential. And so if the federal government doesn't like how a state governs, which we are a federalist type society, we are a republic, the federal government should not have any more power given to it than is expressly granted in the Constitution. So now, when you get a vindictive, dementia-ridden former vice president in the executive branch with a whole bunch of other vindictive, just terrible, borderline, I want to say evil, but that would be, I think, too extreme. But the way they're using government power feels very evil and dystopian, and very communist, socialist. Like, so when you get people in there who want to punish their political enemies, and they have the ability to hold our lives in the balance, effectively, that's ridiculous. And the states have to do something about this because that's absolutely insane. The federal government should not have this authority, period. According to Politico, federal health officials plan to allocate specific amounts to each state under the new approach in an effort to more evenly distribute the 150,000 doses that the government makes available each week. That's so insane. Why would anyone who wants to manage a society or anything well, why would you give out... I just don't understand why you would not let the people who are in the weeds tell you what they need and then send the supply notably. It's no different than when you're working in a job and your boss just makes these random decisions that impact your day, make your life harder, and honestly makes it the quality of the work decrease. Because whether it's additional administrative work that you doesn't need to be done and you don't have time for, or makes a process more inefficient, like the people who know what needs to be done should be at the closest level of decision-making, and then they should just report it back up the chain. That's how it really should work. Or, better yet, let the states and hospitals order their own freaking treatments. I don't understand this. So, another article from WESH.com. DeSantis is quoted as saying, to just spring this on us, starting next week, we're going to have to do that. There's going to be huge disruption, and patients are going to suffer as a result. Moving forward, the federal government will be the one in charge of distributing monoclonal antibody doses. Before this change, states and hospitals could purchase the doses on their own. More than 50% of the monoclonal antibodies that had been used in Florida were going to be reduced. And then Jen Psaki, this absolute... I'm gonna just call her a life-size Chucky doll, because it's nicer than what I was going to call her. She, in her condescending, lying tone, says, just 7 states are making up 70% of the orders. Our supply is not unlimited, and we believe it should be equitable across states across the country. You are a moron. If South Dakota and North Dakota have no cases or minimal cases, why in the hell would they need the same number of monoclonal antibodies as Texas, Florida, California, like anywhere that's having a spike right now? You are mentally handicapped if you think that's the case. So you have two children. One just finished eating a big meal. The other one hasn't eaten all day. And you only have one Pop-Tart. Are you going to split the Pop-Tart in half and give it to both of them? Even though one's not even hungry and doesn't need it? Or are you going to say, hey, you haven't eaten all day. You need food. Here's your Pop-Tart. And you give him the Pop-Tart. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And this is clearly partisan. They're only doing this to take vaccine, or not vaccines. They're only doing this to take treatments away from the people and states that need it in a political backlash move. That's all they're trying to do. So when you see death counts start to crop up and start creeping up in Florida, they're going to say, oh, well, Florida and Texas need to get more vaccinated. No, they didn't, because they were able to treat the disease like you treat every other disease that you get. When you get the flu, you go and you get flu treatment, whether you've had the vaccine or not. When you get bronchitis, or when you get pneumonia, whether you've had preventative treatments or not, you go and treat the disease. Just because you have a vaccine does not mean that you don't treat the disease, especially this vaccine that does not prevent you from getting the virus in the first case. So there's a clip of Jen Psaki, and she she gets asked this question about why. Why are they doing this and changing how things are being distributed? And she is the most condescending, conniving, just wench that I've ever seen. And so, in part of her answer, she goes, talking facts, because that's what you care about, which I don't know how people don't just throw tomatoes or anything in her face anytime she walks up to that podium with that condescending tone. I want to break my TV when I see her face on it. She makes me that angry with just the absolute distastefulness you can see in her face and her voice that she has for anyone questioning their decisions or their authority. Just the absolute disdain that she has. It's disgusting. They're dripping condescension. So she says, monoclonal antibodies are a treatment for after someone gets COVID. So the best way to keep someone safe is to get someone vaccinated. Okay, Jen. What about people who have natural immunity? What about people who have breakthrough cases? Are we not allowed to use treatments on them either? Because guess what? A lot of people who are in the hospitals in Florida and in Texas for this have been vaccinated, and thank God they had the vaccine, because it could have been a lot worse since they have the Delta variant now. And you're going to restrict the supply of treatments to them? Because why? Because why? No good reason. Not even close. It's political party trick. You're playing politics with people's lives, and you should absolutely be admonished for that. You should lose your job for that. Joe Biden should lose his job for that. Whoever made this decision should lose their job for that. This is the antithesis of how this country is supposed to work. We should not be playing politics with people's lives. You absolute despicable people. That's all I got to say on that. If I keep going, I'm going to be just so livid. I'm going to go off on an hour tirade. So hopefully we get some better news moving forward this coming week. We still have the OSHA ruling that's going to come down about small companies and COVID vaccinations, that I pray and hope that gets fought in court and gets just absolutely destroyed. So we're going to keep our eyes open for that. We're going to keep our eyes open on any upcoming news from this new week. And hopefully we have some better news coming. So thanks for listening, guys. And I will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to Unpopular Opinions with Nick. If you enjoyed the show, please give us a 5-star review wherever you're listening to your podcast. You can also interact with us on Facebook and Instagram at unpopularopinions.tm. Have a good one.